knit us together. He has fitly joined us together. It's a work that God has done to put us together. So if you're ever mad about being a part of this church, you could just get mad at God. When we are part of a body, a part of a church, that means we have to do things together. That means there is one another. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but people have problems sometimes. Just letting that sink in case you didn't know. Hey, let me ask you this. When you were in school, like in high school, did you ever have a problem with other people? Or did you ever see a lot of issues in high school? Anybody? Okay. All of you in this room are either the bully or the bullied. And probably a little bit of both at one time or another. I mean, that's just reality. Now, when there was all kinds of just nonsense and petty junk when I was in high school, and I thought, when I get out of here, I won't have to deal with that anymore. And then I went to the workforce. And I remember just lamenting this so many days after work, like, I don't understand. It's just like high school. Like, these are 30, 40, 50-year-old people who just won't grow up. Okay, I'm going to get somebody preaching, right? This is truth, I'm trying to tell you. Do you know people in the church can be the same way?
Amen.
There's a reason that in a letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul had to write, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor."
Amen.
He had to tell the people in the church, don't lie to each other. Why? Because people were lying to each other. Don't lie because they're members. You're members one of another.
Amen.
Like you can't lie to yourself. You can try, but it doesn't work and it's just dumb.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying. You're part of the same body. Don't lie. And then he says this, be angry and sin not.
Right.
I don't know when the first time you got angry at somebody in church. If it hasn't happened yet, just wait. It'll happen maybe tonight before we leave. But it probably came as a shock to you when you, the first time you got mad at somebody in church. Because when you first get saved and baptized and you're part of this thing, it's like the most glorious thing in the world. It's like heaven on earth. It's so wonderful. And then reality sets in and people are still people.
Amen.
And people do, I mean, I'm sorry, but people do dumb things.
Amen.
People do thoughtless things.
Amen.
I mean, for the most part, when we maybe butt heads with each other, a lot of times it's not intentional. Sometimes, a lot of times there's no malice behind it. It's just, you know, people aren't thinking.
Amen.
You might get angry. Okay, get angry. Don't sin. You know you can do that? He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I want to tell you, so many times I've preached this and used this to talk about husbands and wives, because that's great advice from older married couples to younger married couples. What? Don't go to bed angry. It's great advice. It comes from this. But I want you to know in the context, he's not talking about your marriage. He's talking about people in the church.
Amen.
If somebody upsets you in the church and it makes you mad, get over it.
Right.
And don't hold on to that anger.
Amen.
Let it go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs.
Amen.
Listen, there are people in the church who were liars. There are people in the church who were thieves. And if you were a liar and a thief, stop doing that.
Amen.
It's rocket science. This is like brain surgery type stuff here. You used to be a thief, don't steal anymore. It's not complicated. Just stop it. Why? Get a job. Do something good.
Amen.
Do something that is honorable.
Right.
And have so that you can help somebody who needs. So quit taking from people and start giving.
Amen.
This is good. Everybody paying attention? No? Okay, great. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
How much can you allow to proceed out of your mouth?
None.
Just a little bit. Occasionally? None.
Amen.
But rather, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You guys remember that one? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I've got corrupt communication coming out of my mouth, then there's something wrong with my heart. There's something wrong with my heart. Corrupt is the idea of rotten or decayed or spoiled. You guys are familiar with that, right? How do you check and see if the milk's good? No, you look at the thing and it's milk, so you know it's not good. I'm sorry, that's me. I don't like milk. No, if the milk's not good, you can check the date, but who that doesn't even matter, does it?
No.
I mean, you just throw it out because it's past the date?
No.
No, you open it up and sniff it. And when it's bad, you know it's bad. Right? I got it. Just as a side note, does anybody know, does buttermilk ever go bad? It's already bad. I know, right? It's good for making pancakes, but what else is it good for? Biscuits and pancakes. I don't know. Like, we got buttermilk in the refrigerator. It's like half and half separated completely. I'm like, it's probably still good. It smells like it did when we bought it. No idea. I'm going to risk it. Feed it to the kids first. Now, you just know when something's bad. So many gross stories. I'm going to move on. You're welcome. Some people have weak constitutions. When he says corrupt communication, I think that Paul would definitely, this included in this would be profanity. Profane speech would be corrupt. I hate that I have to take a little bit of time to talk about that. But there are a lot of Christians today who argue online and make long videos about why it's okay for Christians to cuss sometimes. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, so many people I know who get saved know automatically that I shouldn't talk like that anymore. Even if they struggle with it, they're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Like, there's a conscience that comes. And when there are pastors on YouTube trying to tell you why it's okay for you to use profanity from time to time, I just don't get that. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And I don't know how using curse words is life-giving. I don't know how that's good. What does he say? To the use of edifying? Like, I don't know how it's edifying to cuss at somebody. I've been cussed out a lot of times, and I never felt edified. Not edified? I never felt edified. Not one time was I like, oh, man, I just feel so lifted up. Right? And some of you are like, I want to hear about that. No, you don't. You don't. So I don't get that. But it's not just don't cuss. He's talking about any speech that is decaying, rotten, or destructive. If it tears down, if it poisons, if it injures, if it spreads decay, words can rot. Words can rot a room. Words can rot a marriage.
Amen.
Words can rot your child's spirit.
Amen.
Words can rot a church.
Amen. Amen.
There are also words that build up.
Right.
He says our speech should be good to the use of edifying.
Amen.
Edifying, building up. Proverbs 18:21 is a good one to remember. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we want to be careful. We want to be careful about how we speak. Instead of using bad language, use good language.
Amen.
Instead of using language that tears down, use language that builds up.
Amen.
And then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The moment you were born again, the Spirit of God came in you.
Amen.
He sealed you up for all eternity. And here's what's amazing. That you and I, as human beings, can do something to grieve him.
Amen.
What long-suffering and mercy and love God has.
Amen.
That rather than just killing me dead, he allows me to grieve him.
Amen.
Do you guys get that? Like, we don't tremble before him enough.
Right.
But I can, in my heart, say and do things that are grieving him, that are just wearing him out, and he is long-suffering to me. So don't do that. Don't grieve him. You guys get that, don't you?
Amen.
Like, you get around sin and it just grieves you.
Amen.
Like, you feel that? Man, you're talking about the language. When I get around people who are just cussing all the time, I can't hardly stand it.
Right.
It just brings my spirit down. It grieves me. I can only imagine how my sin grieves the spirit that lives in me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Amen.
Put all of these things away from you. Bitterness is the settled inward resentment. Bitterness is settled inward resentment. Wrath is a flare-up of passion. Anger is described as the heat. You ever just get so mad you can feel it in your face? That's the anger he's talking about here. Clamor is a loud outcry. When you get so mad, you're just yelling, making noise. Evil speaking is slanderous or injurious speech. Evil speaking is slandering somebody else and running them down. Malice is the desire to harm somebody else. This is not the way we ought to live in the church. John MacArthur said the church, even at its best, is a collision of sinners. I thought that was really good. I love our church.
Amen.
Yeah, I think we love one another.
Amen.
But sometimes there's going to be hurt. Sometimes people are going to say or do things that are hurtful.
Amen.
But we cannot allow bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice to remain.
Amen.
You see, he said, be angry and sin not. If you sin in your anger, it's going to lead to bitterness.
Amen.
And once you have a root of bitterness springing up, you are in a terrible place.
Right.
And you need to hear me. The only remedy for bitterness is repentance.
Amen.
And forgiveness.
Amen.
This is basic. This is Christianity 101. What did the Lord teach us? If you want to be forgiven, what do you have to do? Huh? If you won't forgive, then you won't be forgiven.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Right.
And when you're unwilling to forgive somebody else, then bitterness is going to come.
Amen.
And it's going to lead to all these other things. So just
right.
Forgive. And you say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they treated me. You don't. Listen, I don't have to. Because the way I forgive is not based on what they did or didn't do. It's based on how he's forgiven you.
Amen.
Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen.
Like, has anybody on this planet sinned against you worse than you've sinned against God? I don't even know that that's possible. So forgive. Let me give you some practicalities very quickly. Number one, remember who you are. Verse 24, he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you have any kind of conflict or any kind of trouble in relationship, whether it's at your home or at work or here in the church, just remember who you are. I'm a new man in Christ, so I can't act like my old man.
Amen.
Remember. Number two, refuse corrupt speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth,
Amen.
But that which is good to the use of edifying. So number two, refuse corrupt speech. Number three, replace that with edifying words.
Amen.
Replace with edifying words. I got something for the note takers. I've given this before, and when I remember this, it's very helpful. Think before you speak.
Amen.
You guys heard this one before? Think before you speak. This, if you would just do that part, it would help.
Right.
T, is it true? Is what I want to say to this person true? H, is it helpful? I'm upset, I'm angry. I want to say words right now. But the words that I want to say, are they true? Are they helpful? Here's one that'll end almost all of them. I, are they inspiring?
Amen.
Is what I want to say right now inspiring? N, Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Is what I want to say right now really necessary? Does it need to be said? And by the way, sometimes what you want to say needs to be said. But if you think before you speak, then you can settle that in your heart and you say, I need to say this. Okay. Is it kind? Is it kind? Think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And if it's not, then the best thing you could do is, man, put your hand over your mouth. I mean, some of those cliches that we have that we grew up with, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It really is good. And can I say this? You don't have to be standing in front of somebody to run that through your mind. You could be at your keyboard on your phone. I can't tell you how many times I see something online and I feel like it's my obligation to the world to jump in the middle of a Facebook debate. Like, God, let me see that today just so I could set the world right. And so I start typing. I mean, guys, the Apostle Paul would be proud of what I just wrote. He would be like, I couldn't have said it any better, Isaac. It's exactly the way I would have handled that. And like, I'm so sure of myself, and I have to stop. I can't tell you how many things, comments, or posts I have deleted over the years. And I want to tell you tonight, I thank God that I did. There's other times I probably jumped in and I shouldn't have. And there's probably times I jumped in and it's good that I did. But you really ought to think before you speak or before you post. I can't understand this. My grandfather taught my mom, and my mom taught me, if you don't want anybody to know it, don't write it down. Amen. And people are so wild and free with what they post on the internet. Amen. And once it's there, friends, it's there. Amen. Refuse corrupt speech, replace with edifying words. Number four, recognize the Spirit's grief. Our relationships aren't just this way. Our relationship is this way.
Amen.
And I don't want to grieve the Spirit that's in me.
Amen.
If I sin against a brother, a sister, my wife, my children, my parents, somebody in the church, a neighbor, a coworker, a customer, I'm not only hurting that relationship, I'm hurting my relationship with my Savior. So be careful. Ask whether your response honors the Spirit who sealed you. Number five, remove bitterness. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones described bitterness as a condition which never sees any good in anything, but always contrives to see something wrong or some defect and deficiency. You could take his definition or leave it, but I think that's pretty accurate. A condition which never sees any good in anything, but always contrives to see something wrong or some defect and deficiency. And I want to tell you, you got to stop rehearsing that thing in your heart and mind. Like hit the delete button instead of the replay button.
Amen.
Stop dwelling on things that have been done wrong to you. If anything, think of the wrong that you've done and repent of that.
Amen.
What someone else has done is between them and God. And your only role in that problem is to forgive.
Amen.
That's it. That's your only part.
Right.
If somebody does you wrong, is to forgive. That's it.
Amen.
Confess bitterness as sin. Refuse to let hurt become hatred.
Amen.
Plead with God to remove that root before it spreads. And you may think that the bitterness in your heart doesn't affect anybody else, but I want to tell you it affects everyone else.
Amen.
And number six, respond with kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness.
Amen.
The Slate kids learned this verse early on. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I knew this verse before I had kids. But once you have more than one kid, this verse becomes very important in your home. Be kind, tender-hearted. Listen, we need kindness. We need tender-heartedness. We need forgiveness in our families, and we must have it in the church. Spurgeon said this word kind is an old Saxon word that meant to be kinned. So kindness comes from kin, family. You guys got that right? You know what it is to have kin? Y'all got any kin around here? Yeah, you know you do. In Mulcher, everybody kin to somebody. Be kind, like men who are kin to one another. You guys have any family it's hard to get along with? Stop looking at each other. Throwing elbows and side eyes. Listen, your family's your family. No matter what. And this church family is your church family no matter what. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be a part of this church. I thank you for the fact that you established your churches and that you have gathered believers together, the saints. You've placed them in your body and put them together in your churches around the world for so many years. And I thank you that we don't have to do this Christian life alone, that we get to do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that you'll help us to take serious heed the word tonight, that we would love one another, that we would forgive one another, we'd be kind one to another. And when we fail to do that, I pray that we will be quick to repent, that we'll speak truth, that we will be careful with our words, and that we would be able to live this life you've given us in Christ together for your glory. Please forgive us and please bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.